As mentioned, I came from Connecticut and spent 25 years there, and the winters were horrible, and there were families that were more financially secure than mine, and we called them snowbirds, and they flew off to Miami and Phoenix during the winter, and I was always envious of them. Then around the Vietnam War time, I had my military time, and I was in the public health hospital in Baltimore. I finished my 2 years and was all done. And they offered me a chance to go to Phoenix. And I dreamed about Phoenix being a great place to visit. And signed on for a year to work with the Indian service there. And my wife looked forward to it, too. She had a good friend who's still there. About a month ago, typical military, they said, oh, guess what? The job in Phoenix is gone. You're going to go to Gallup, New Mexico instead. Gallup, New Mexico. So I looked up Gallup. It's about 7,000 feet above sea level. In the winter, the temperature gets down to 30 below zero in November, December, and January. And I jogged at 5 o'clock in the morning all through that for that year. One breath, and that's it for 3 miles. But that's the way it went along. And then I knew that they ate the ground squirrels, and they got the plague. Of the 10 or 15 cases of plague in the United States every year, about 8 of them come from Gallup and the environment there. It's the Navajo Reservation and a bunch of other smaller reservations, and there's 650,000 Navajo Indians around. And yes, you do not go there on Saturday night because they do like their alcohol. So there were things there. And then I found out that everybody that worked at the hospital would go up with a jug every day in the morning at 30 below zero in the winter and take it to the pharmacy, and they would distill water because the two little areas where they got their drinking water were polluted with magnesium sulfate, which is milk of magnesia. And the doctor's kids and the nurse's kids and everybody would get horrible diarrheas, and sometimes they were hospitalized for it. But it turned out everybody that was there wanted to be there. They were great doctors. We all got along fine. There were unbelievably challenging medical problems. Although I hadn't had my training completed, they made me the infectious disease doctor for half the reservation, and I drove around twice a month to the Hopis and the Zunis and all these places where there was one doctor all by himself and unbelievable medical problems showed up. The nurses were great. You needed interpreters. Nobody could speak the Navajo language, and they were Navajo nurses. They were well-trained and nice. The lab people were great, and there was a lab person who was actually 3 years older than me, married with a wife and two kids named Ed Ashley, and he was a Navajo. And unlike most of them, he was very well educated. He had a college degree. He had his little spread about 20 miles up the road and was a very happy guy, a big, sturdy, broad-shouldered guy. And if you went off in the hills 5 miles in any direction, you'd find some Indian ruins somewhere. So it solidified my interest in archaeology. And then about 3 months into the year, I met a friend named Homer. He was a fellow physician, and he was a very, very good rock climber. And we still keep in touch all these years later. And he taught me to rock climb. I never got to be good, and I'm still as scared as I was right in the beginning. And we went crazy places. And then we decided we wanted to have another climber along. And Homer said, Ashley, Ed Ashley. So it was me, the Anglo, Homer, the Hispanic, and Ashley, the Navajo. We made a great team, and we went all over the place. Homer directed us around, and we had a great time. And Ed Ashley actually was a very talented climber, too. Time went by. And my year was coming to a close, and we kept talking to Ashley. Come on, Ed, you're a smart kid. You don't have to stay just in the lab. Maybe you can go further. It turns out for the whole reservation of 650,000 Navajos, only one Navajo in the history of time, and I think it's still true, ever made it through medical school. He was way up. I never met the guy. He was way up somewhere and was a surgeon, probably 80 miles away. And we convinced Ed Ashley to apply to medical school. And he got in. I'm sure they wanted somebody like that. You know, he didn't have all the right classes and whatever, but off he went, and we felt that was a nice ending to our time. Homer was ending his year, and mine was ending, and in a couple months off he'd go. What happened with the patients in the hospitals was lots of times they wouldn't let you do anything to them until their witch doctor came in. And he'd be in there for the afternoon, and for 2 or 3 days later, you couldn't talk to the patient. They were snowed out on peyote. But after that, they let you do whatever you wanted to do. You could carry on the workup and take care of the people. And they had a funny religion that explained everything. It included medicine, philosophy, the whole thing. And I'm still sure they're adherent to that. And there were patients sometimes that had seizure disorders. And it's easy to treat. You'd put them, do a workup, put them on medications, send them on their way. They'd always come back, and they weren't taking the medication. And there was a road that was heading out to Window Rock, about 12 miles west of Gallup, and lots and lots and lots of accidents. And we left for the year. We were anticipating Ed Ashley's time. But their religion tells them that if you have seizures, it means that you're the product of a birth through incest. And that's why they stopped their medication. Anyways, to bring the story around to its ending, about 2 months afterwards, 1 month before medical school, Ed Ashley got killed by a drunk driver on Window Rock. And so that's my story of a dream unfulfilled. Thank you.